murmured Granny. "Well, madam, I've never taken too much notice of them. 50 years later, they never seem so modern as all that." He shook the younger vampires like dolls. "I do apologize for my nephew's behavior. Quite out of keeping for a vampire. Would you people from Escrow like to kill these two? It's the least I could do."
"Ain't they your relatives?" said Nanny Ogg as the crowd surged forward.
"Oh, yes, but we've never been much of a species for playing happy families."
Vlad looked imploringly at Agnes and reached out to her.
"You wouldn't let them kill me, would you? You wouldn't let them do this to me. We could have, we might, you wouldn't, would you?"
The crowd hesitated. This sounded like an important plea. 100 pairs of eyes stared at Agnes. She took his hand. "I suppose we could work on him," said Perdita. But Agnes thought about Escrow, and the queues, and the children playing while they waited, and how evil might come animal sharp in the night, or greyly by day on a list. "Vlad," she said gently, looking deep into his eyes, "I'd even hold their coats."
"A fine sentiment, but that ain't happening," said Granny behind her. "You take 'em away, Count. Teach 'em the old ways. Teach 'em stupidity."
The Count nodded and grinned toothily.
"Certainly. I shall teach them that to live, you have to rise again."
"Eh, you don't live, Count. The Phoenix lives. You just don't know you're dead. Now get along with you."
There was another moment sliced out of time, and then a flock of magpies rose up from where the three vampires had been, screaming and chattering, and disappeared in the darkness of the roof.
"There's hundreds of them," said Agnes to Nanny.
"Well, vampires can turn into things," said Nanny. "Everyone knows that who knows anything about vampires."
"And what do 300 magpies mean?"
"They mean it's time to put covers on all the furniture," said Nanny, "and that it's time for me to have a very big drink."
The crowd began to break up, aware that the big show was over.
"Why didn't she just let us wipe them out?" hissed Piotr by Agnes's ear. "Death's too good for them."
"Yes," said Agnes. "I suppose that's why she didn't let them have it."
Oates hadn't moved. He was still staring straight ahead of him, but his hands were shaking. Agnes led him gently to a bench and eased him down.
"I killed him, didn't I?" he whispered.
"Sort of," said Agnes. "It's a bit hard to tell with vampires.
There was just nothing else to do. Everything just went, the air just went gold, and there was just this one moment to, do something."
"I don't think anyone's complaining," said Agnes.
"You've got to admit he's quite attractive," whispered Perdita, "if only he'd do something about that boil."
Magrat sat down on the other side of Oates, clutching the baby. She breathed deeply a few times.
"That was very brave of you," she said.
"No, it wasn't," said Oates hoarsely. "I thought Mistress Weatherwax was going to do something."
"She did," said Magrat, shivering.
"Oh, she did."
Granny Weatherwax sat down on the other end of the bench and pinched the bridge of her nose.
"I just want to go home now," she said. "I just want to go home and sleep for a week."
She yawned.
"Oh, I'm dying for a cuppa."
"I thought you'd made one," said Agnes. "You had us slavering for it."
"Where'd I get tea here? It was just some mud in water. But I know Nanny keeps a bag of it somewhere on her person." She yawned again. "Make the tea, Magrat."
Agnes opened her mouth, but Magrat waved her into silence and then handed her the baby.
"Certainly, Granny," she said, gently pushing Agnes back into her seat. "I'll just find out where Igor keeps the kettle, shall I?"
Mightily Oates stepped out onto the battlements. The sun was well up and a breeze was blowing in over the forests of Uberwald. A few magpies chattered in the trees nearest the castle. Granny was leaning with her elbows on the wall, staring out over the thinning mists.
"It looks like it's going to be a fine day," said Oates happily, and he did feel happy to his amazement.
There was sharpness to the air and the sense of the future brimming with possibilities. He remembered the moment when he'd swung the axe, when both of him had swung it together. Perhaps there was a way.
"There's a storm coming down from the hub later," said Granny.
"Well, at least that'll be good for the crops then," said Oates.
Something flickered overhead. In the new daylight, the wings of the phoenix were hard to see, mere yellow shimmers in the air, with the tiny shape of the little hawk in the centre as it circled high over the castle.
"Why would anyone want to kill something like that?" said Oates.
"Oh, some people will kill anything for the fun of it,"